This is Pastor Dale Swartz, and I welcome you to another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow. The Voice of Tomorrow is brought to you the same time each week by Kingdom Ministries Incorporated, which is dedicated to teaching and preaching the truths of God's Word, a message of the Kingdom of God, a message that so often is not heard in the Christian church today, but a message that was on the heart and lips and mind of Jesus Christ Himself, who is the King of that kingdom. The kingdom of God is real. It's coming. It's future. And Jesus talked about it throughout His ministry. The apostles talked about it throughout their ministry. It's a reality that needs to be identified, and you and I need to come to grips with the fact that it is real. It is in Scripture. And it's undeniably an important part in the life and ministry of Jesus. Part of Jesus' ministry at the very beginning was to teach and preach the kingdom of God, what people needed to do to repent, to change their lives in order to gain entrance into the kingdom. It wasn't an automatic thing. In the kingdom of God, the people who are in God's kingdom will have an opportunity. They will live forever. They will have eternal life. They will have immortality. This is in the kingdom, in the age to come, the life that is yet to come. That life, immortality, will be granted to the Christian, to you and me, when Jesus returns, when He returns from the throne of God in heaven, the second time, without sin, to bring and set up the kingdom of God. You and I will rule and reign with Him. He will bring with Him our gift of eternal life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 16 and 17, says that the dead in Christ will rise. The dead in Christ, those are the believers in Christ. Not everyone at that time, the dead in Christ, those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, who of their own free will choose to turn against Jesus Christ, not even believe in Him at all, or in God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. A person who does not believe in God will not be in this resurrection. This is the first resurrection. There are two spoken of in Scripture. One in, both of those are mentioned in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Jesus tells His disciples as He's teaching about resurrection, and He does not want them to get overly excited about this truth. He said, you know, don't be surprised at what I'm telling you, because the Old Testament talked about it as well. In John, chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice and come forth, they that have done good to resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to a resurrection of damnation. In 1 Thessalonians 4, those who are raised in that resurrection are the dead in Christ, those that have made a conscious decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord, Savior, and Master of their life. The rest, according to the book of Revelation in chapter 20, and that'd be a future study, the rest of the dead will not live until the end of a thousand-year reign. The book of Revelation chapter 20 calls it a millennial reign, a reign of a thousand years, when Jesus brings perfection to reality, brings all things unto subjection. And we're going to be looking at that in a few weeks, dealing with 1 Corinthians 15 as well. I'd like to have you turn in your Bible and get a piece of paper and a pen and write this passage down. Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 34. Jesus is foretelling his future to the disciples, telling them that He's going to Jerusalem. In verse 31, it says, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written in the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. And then He tells them some of the things that are going to happen. Verse 32, He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he will rise again. Now, we mentioned a week or so ago that Jesus was fully aware of his destiny as he told his disciples what the future had in store for him. He was going to Jerusalem. He's preparing the disciples because they think they know that he is the Messiah. They have already indicated this, Peter particularly, with a statement, and as Matthew put it, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Remember, Christ is not a last name. It's a title meaning God's anointed. And it is the Greek form of the Hebrew counterpart of Messiah. It is God's chosen one, God's anointed one, the one that God has chosen as his agent, the one that will fulfill God's will. And what Jesus was doing, first of all, was to come to redeem people, and he had to die. Mankind, you and I needed a Savior. We needed to be saved from our sins. We could not save ourselves. There was no way we could buy salvation, earn salvation. We're not good enough. Isaiah, in his book, Isaiah 64 and 6, says that you and I at our very best are nothing but filthy rags. Our righteousness, we're not good. Innately, we're evil because and handed down from the time of Adam when man chose to go his own way and disobey God and do his own thing. That follows true as you read through Genesis and the 11th chapter at the Tower of Babel. God had told man to go and replenish the earth. What did mankind do? They decided to try to stick together to build a tower. They wanted to build a tower. What does the scripture say in chapter 11 of Genesis? Lest we be scattered abroad. That's what God wanted them to do. He wanted them to scatter. He wanted them to replenish the earth. And they didn't do it. Man just time after time after time chose to disobey God. Man chose to disobey. Disobedience is sin. Jesus came to die for the sins of the world, and he died for you and me. Notice what verse 31 also says here, that he's going to Jerusalem, and that all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. If you look, and some of you have in your Bible some references, there's a center margin with some small print perhaps. They are cross-references. It's like doing a dot-to-dot. They're cross-references from one verse in one part of the Bible to another verse, and they're similar topics, similar subjects that have similar wording or similar themes, a cross-reference. And what the prophets wrote, what the Old Testament said concerning the Son of Man, which, by the way, the Son of Man was a favorite title of Jesus, calling himself the Son of Man. If you read through Psalm 22, read Psalm 22, write that chapter down, go back later today and read it. Also write down Isaiah chapter 53, and it identifies a suffering Savior, one that suffers greatly for the sins of someone. Isaiah chapter 53, we find these particular words. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Jesus Christ is that individual. And it is the Old Testament prophets that are identifying this as the Messiah. We find Jesus Christ is the one that is foretold in the Old Testament. And so in this 31st verse, Jesus says that the things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man, and two passages to look at are Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53, those things concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. And then he describes then in verse 32 and 33 some of the things that are going to happen, that he's going to be mocked, he's going to be spitefully treated, they're going to spit on him, they're going to scourge him, they're going to put him to death. But then again, remember, the hope of the Christian church. Jesus said, the Son of Man, he will rise the third day. He will again, on the third day, rise again. He's not going to stay dead. This is God's plan. Jesus is the Messiah. He's going to rise from the dead. And when God raised Jesus back to life, he raised him to immortality, never to die again. Paul the Apostle in the gospel, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 said that the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus back to life will also raise us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus is going to raise you and me back to life. I commit again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. It's literal. Read it literal. This is what the Bible says, that Jesus Christ himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. The same power that raised Jesus back to life, Jesus, who is God's agent, God's representative, will come again. As the angels told the disciples in the book of Acts, this same Jesus will so come in like manner as you've seen him go, Acts 1:11. This same Jesus is coming back and he's going to raise the dead. You and I will live again at the time of the resurrection. Then we will receive a reward of immortality at that time, the last day. May God bless you as you continue to study God's word and become a student of the scriptures.